Chapter 16, A Thief in the Night. Now the days passed slowly and wearily. Many of the dwarves spent their time piling and ordering the treasure, and Thorin spoke of the Arkenstone of Thrain and bade them eagerly to look for it in every corner. "For the Arkenstone of my father," he said, "is worth more than a river of gold itself, and to me it is beyond price. That stone of all the treasure I name unto myself, and I will be avenged on anyone who finds it and withholds it." Bilbo heard these words, and he grew afraid, wondering what would happen if the stone was found wrapped in an old bundle of tattered oddments that he used as a pillow. All the same, he did not speak of it, for as the weariness of the days grew heavier, the beginnings of a plan had come into his little head. Things had gone on like this for some time. When the ravens brought news that Dane and more than 500 dwarves hurrying from the Iron Hills were now within about 2 days' march of Dale, coming from the northeast. "But they cannot reach the mountain unmarked," said Roach, "and I fear lest there be battle in the valley. I do not call this council good. Though they are a grim folk, they are not likely to overcome the host that besets you. And even if they did so, what will you gain? Winter and snow is hastening behind them. How shall you be fed without the friendship and goodwill of the lands about you? The treasure is likely to be your death, though the dragon is no more." But Thorin was not moved. "Winter and snow will bite both men and elves," he said, "and they may find their dwelling in the waste grievous to bear. With my friends behind them and winter upon them, they will perhaps be in a softer mood to parley with." That night, Bilbo made up his mind. The sky was black and moonless. As soon as it was full dark, he went to a corner of an inner chamber, just within the gate, and drew from his bundle a rope, and also the Arkenstone wrapped in a rag. Then he climbed to the top of the wall. Only Bombo was there, for it was his turn to watch, and the dwarves kept only one watchman at a time. "It is mighty cold," said Bombo. "I wish we could have a fire up here, as they have in the camp." "It is warm enough inside," said Bilbo. "I dare say, but I am bound here till midnight," grumbled the fat dwarf. "A sorry business altogether. Not that I venture to disagree with Thorin, may his beard grow ever longer, yet he was ever a dwarf with a stiff neck." "Not as stiff as my legs," said Bilbo. "I am tired of stairs and stone passages. I would give a good deal for the feel of grass at my toes." "I would give a good deal for the feel of a strong drink in my throat, and for a soft bed after a good supper." "I can't give you those, while the siege is going on, but it is long since I watched, and I will take your turn for you, if you like. There is no sleep in me tonight." "You are a good fellow, Mr. Baggins, and I will take your offer kindly. If there should be anything to note, rouse me first, mind you. I will lie in the inner chamber to the left, not far away." "Off you go," said Bilbo. "I will wake you at midnight, and you can wake the next watchman." As soon as Bombo had gone, Bilbo put on his ring, fastened his rope, slipped down over the wall, and was gone. He had about 5 hours before him. Bombo would sleep. He could sleep at any time, and ever since the adventure in the forest, he was always trying to recapture the beautiful dreams he had then. And all the others were busy with Thorin. It was unlikely that any, even Fili or Kili, would come out of the wall until it was their turn. It was very dark, and the road after a while, when he left the newly made path and climbed down towards the lower course of the stream, was strange to him. At last he came to the bend where he had to cross the water. If he was to make for the camp as he wished, the bed of the stream was there, shallow, but already broad, and fording it in the dark was not easy for the little hobbit. He was nearly across when he missed his footing on a round stone and fell into the cold water with a splash. He had barely scrambled out on the far bank, shivering and spluttering, when up came elves in the gloom with bright lanterns and searched for the cause of the noise. "That was no fish," one said. "There is a spy about. Hide your lights. They will help him more than us, if it is that queer little creature that is said to be their servant." "Servant indeed," snorted Bilbo. And in the middle of his snort he sneezed loudly, and the elves immediately gathered towards the sound. "Let's have a light," he said. "I'm here if you want me," and he slipped off his ring and popped from behind a rock. They seized him quickly in spite of their surprise. "Who are you? Are you the dwarf's hobbit? What are you doing? How did you get so far past our sentinels?" they asked one after another. "I am Mr. Bilbo Baggins," he answered, "companion of Thorin, if you want to know. I know your king well by sight, though perhaps he doesn't know me to look at. But Bard will remember me, and it is Bard I particularly want to see." "Indeed," said they, "and what may be your business?" "Whatever it is my own, my good elves. But if you wish ever to get back to your own woods from this cold, cheerless place, he answered, shivering, you will take me along to a fire, where I can dry, and then you will let me speak to your chiefs as quick as may be. I have only an hour or two to spare.